of me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sunset's green. Oh, it's free and I'm a child of God. Yes, I
Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are delighted to have you with us as we have this time of worship together. And I hope today that the time of music and the time of preaching from God's Word speaks to your heart and helps you to experience life change. We are gathering back as a church family on campus, and if you're able and willing to do so, we hope to see you soon. We've created a very safe environment, and we are excited to see you in our presence together as we join back over these weeks to come. So you sign up as soon as you feel ready and able, and we'll look forward to having you with us. In the meantime, let's go to the Lord in prayer and enjoy this time on TV or online as we worship together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship together. We pray that you administer to our hearts and help us to experience transformation by the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for these who have gathered today who are tuned in to worship you and give you praise and who crave learning from your word. So, Father, reward us in our faith. Help us to draw close to you and experience a fresh moving of your spirit in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, prepare for you. We sing, holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. We sing, holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. There is none beside you. Open.
I'm excited to share with you about some folks who have taken the next step in membership here. Jimmy and Kathy Maxwell have recently joined our church in membership, and we are so excited that they have joined our church family and look forward to our partnership in the gospel through the days and years ahead. So be sure to welcome them the next time you cross paths. Let them know how glad you are that they have joined the Thomasville First Baptist family. At this time, we are going to share in our offering experience, and we want to invite you to give and do so generously and sacrificially, because we know as we give, we're making a difference in this world in the name of Christ. We know when we give, we are expressing faith and trust in our great God to be our provider. So let me invite you to give now. You can do it in several different ways, whatever works best for you. You can give online, you can text to give, or you can mail your gift to the church office. However you choose to do it, the important thing is that we participate today in making a sacrifice for the glory of God. It's an act of worship, and that's why we have this each week in our worship experience. So as you give, let's do so knowing that we are investing in the kingdom work of God, we're partnering with our Lord, and we're going to see great eternal things transpire as a result. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we have this time of offering. Father, we thank you for new church members with the Maxwells joining our church. We celebrate their decision and welcome them into our church family. We thank you for this time of giving, and we pray, Father, that our gifts would indeed bring you glory and bring about eternal change. Help us, Lord, in these confusing days and these uncertain times to be a light to a hurting world, to help them to find the grace, the love, and the compassion, the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Lord, now as we give, we entrust these gifts to you and know that you are our provider. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, church family, we are back with live services, and we can't wait to see you. When you feel comfortable joining us in person, please pre-register for the service of your choice online at fbcthomasville.com or by calling the church office. As a reminder, there's no childcare available at this time. We ask that everyone bring their own mask, but if you don't have one, don't worry. We'll have some available, as well as hand sanitizer. When you arrive, please enter through the main doors on Broad Street and have your email confirmation ready to show at the door. Based on CDC guidelines, we've prepared seating that is 6 feet apart, and a volunteer will show you to your seat. It's been so good to worship together in person. We were made for community, and nothing can take the place of gathering as the body of Christ face to face. At the conclusion of the service, a volunteer will dismiss you by rows, and as you exit, you'll have the opportunity to give. We've missed you so much, and we are looking forward to seeing you soon.
More than I could
taste, I have seen the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart. Even in my darkest day, God, your goodness will remain, the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, your mercy, chasing after me. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your
invite you today to join me in Acts chapter 18 as we look today at verses 24 through 26. And today, I want you to think about how what's on the outside is not always necessarily what is on the inside. It may be that you looked at a vehicle you wanted to buy, it looked really nice on the outside, but then the inside wasn't quite what you expected. The mechanics of it, the engine wasn't as strong as you thought it might would be. Or you bought a house, and we were in this boat one time. We've enjoyed remodeling houses through the years, and we bought this house and we were going to remodel it and live in it. And as we were remodeling, the more we tried to fix something, the more problems that unfolded. We would remove one thing and find three more problems. What's on the outside is not always what's on the inside. I was thinking about this when I was shopping some years back. I bought this coat, and I was in the store, and I noticed it on the rack, and I thought, well, that's a nice, plain, navy coat. It looks like something that would fit well and look good and all of that. And I took it off the rack and put it on, and as I was looking at it, I failed to notice until I was there in front of the mirror that the outside looked very different from the inside. As you can see, bright red lining inside. So I'm always real self-conscious anytime I wear this coat not to let anyone see that bright red fabric on the inside, because what's on the outside does not always reflect what is on the inside. I think about that in relation to faith. I think about my own faith. Many years ago, as I was a young person, I grew up in a country that was predominantly Christian. I was a fairly good person. I went to church on occasion. I believed in God. So outwardly, there was this projection, this image, this thought I had that I was a Christian because of certain externals about me. But I was never transformed on the inside until March 3rd, 1992, when I professed Christ as Lord and Savior and invited Him into my life. And I think that's true for a lot of us in our faith. You get just below the surface, and there is a much different picture of the person than what is on the outside. And we're really in danger of this as church people, aren't we? As we get back to church, as we start gathering back on our campus, we have the tendency, don't we, to show up and look good on the outside, put on the smile, put on the right church clothes and the right image to convey that we have it all put together, but inwardly, oftentimes, we're much like the dynamic of this coat. Everything looks normal on the outside, but things just don't look quite right on the inside. And today, as we look at Scripture, I want us to understand our need to be transformed by Jesus from the inside out. That Jesus would be more than someone who is superficial on the outside of our lives, but he would penetrate to the deepest, inmost parts of our being. Now, when we think about church life and Christian life, perhaps you're a person who grew up with all the knowledge of the stories of the Bible. You have been faithful in attendance in worship services. You've gone through all the religious expressions of things like baptism and participation in the Lord's Supper. You've been counted among the membership, but you're like this coat. You're okay on the outside, but things aren't right on the inside. Today, I want you to be challenged as we go back to church, as we get back into the rhythm of some level of a new normal, to recommit yourself in faith, to not just have the outward, the externals, but be transformed on with the internal, that internally you are changed, you are living a vibrant faith for Jesus Christ. So as we think about that, and we think about gathering back for worship and gathering back around things of faith more so than we have in the past, let's seek to get Jesus below the surface, to let him reside in a transformational way deep down inside of us, because that's so important, because it's not enough to have Jesus just on the outside. We need him to change us on the inside. In other words, it's not enough to just be a member of a church, to be baptized, to be on a church membership role, to just do Christian things, but to be transformed as a Christian. We need God to penetrate in the deepest parts of our being. He needs to be inside of you, changing you from the inside out. Now, the Bible presents to us a story of a man who had a superficial relationship with God. He knew a lot of things about the Bible. He had a lot of intimate knowledge of Scripture. Perhaps, I would think, more than any of us. I would certainly guarantee he had a greater handle on Scripture than I have in my life. I'm sure if I sat down with him, I would feel intimidated, particularly about his Old Testament knowledge. And this character of Scripture was really excited about what he knew. He was very committed to what he knew. He was passionate. He was sincere. But there was a big, big problem, as we discover in our passage today. His relationship with the Lord, it wasn't complete. It wasn't what it needed to be. It wasn't complete and transformational. It did not have the power of Christ working from the inside out. So let's look at that in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, an eloquent man who was competent in the use of Scripture, he arrived in Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately about Jesus, although he knew only John's baptism. So we read about this man named Apollos. Now don't get confused. This is not speaking of the Rocky movies. That was Apollo. We're talking about Apollos. He was this man you would be blown away by. He had such dynamic understanding, such amazing comprehension of Scripture of the Old Testament. It's interesting, he was from Alexandria. This is a place that was very high up on their thoughts about education. They were very involved in philosophical thought of the day. The population of this city was about 600,000. Now, their library is said to have contained about 700,000 volumes of books. Now, that's astounding for an ancient city. We're used to information at our fingertips, books everywhere, access through the internet, but this was a very, very community that was focused on the things of scholarly pursuits and philosophical endeavors. And Apollos, through his reading and his influences, was this intellectual guy. He was a philosopher. It says he was an eloquent man who was competent in the use of the scriptures. Again, referring to the Old Testament passages. He was brilliant. He was articulate. If you heard him, you would perhaps be hanging on every word he spoke. He had this tremendous knowledge, but the incredible thing is it was packaged together with great fervency. So he would present information, but in a powerful way that would just captivate his audiences. There was this dynamic part of who he was and what he presented. And this dynamic preaching made Apollos one of the most celebrated preachers of his era. You think about Paul. The Apostle Paul, we often think of him as this amazing preacher, and I'm sure he was. We would think he would be at the top of the list, but Apollos was even greater than Paul in his communication skills. As a matter of fact, at a later time in Scripture, Paul had to deal with a problem in a church because Apollos was such a fine preacher. People were putting aside Paul's message because they favored Apollos and his powerful presentation. So Paul wrote to the church at Corinth to challenge them about dividing their loyalties between him and Apollos, saying that, well, Apollos is the better preacher. We favor Apollos. He's our guy. But here at this point in our text, Apollos had a faith that was demonstrative. It was outward, but it was lacking inwardly. He had outward acknowledgement and adherence to things of faith, but his faith wasn't realized on the inside. What he taught accurately, but he did not have a full understanding of the gospel. You see, this message of Jesus was in its early stages of circulation, and Apollos was mostly acquainted with the message of John, that there was a Messiah to come. He had learned some things from John. He'd been discipled in that area, but Apollos, as he recounted the scriptures, he would speak of the prophecies of the coming of Christ, but he did not understand the events and the meaning of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He was a man, in other words, who had never been changed on the inside. He adhered to what he did understand. He was baptized by John for repentance and in anticipation of the coming Messiah, but he had never been transformed by the indwelling power of God's presence. Maybe today you are somewhat like Apollos. You've been baptized. You've joined the church. You've done all those types of religious things. You've adhered to the teachings and the processes and the behaviors. Like Apollos, you believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God. You believe that Jesus is the Messiah sent from God. But like Apollos, this realization has only been skin deep. It's only been something that's affected your outward behaviors, but never transformed you on the inside. In other words, you believe right, you act right, but Jesus has been something that's just superficial, someone who's not really changed you from the inside. Has he today taken the rightful place in your life as your Lord and Savior, on the throne of your heart? For some today, you often struggle with whether or not you're even a Christian. You struggle with whether or not you've truly been saved. Were you ever saved in the first place? And you wonder, because Jesus has had this effect on the outward part of you, the exterior, but you realize some things are lacking on the inside. Today I want to challenge you to stop living with a maybe so and hope so type of salvation. As we get back to church, I want to challenge you to let Jesus reside and transform you on the inside, to be certain that your life is moving forward in faith, that as we go back to church and bring ourselves back to this gathering on this campus, that we are renewing our hearts and recommitting ourselves to live transformed lives for Jesus like we never have previously done. I want you to come to the point of understanding as Apollos did, the way of God more adequately, to understand what Jesus wants to do in your life, how he wants to change you through and through, how he wants your experience and relationship with him to be dynamic, to understand a relationship with Christ like Apollos did that day in our passage. You see, he allowed his faith to go deeper. He wasn't satisfied with superficial faith. He had learned about the things of God. He had preached about the things of God. But when he understood there was more to be experienced, deeper faith to be enjoyed, Apollos chased after that. So as we come back to church, what we want to do is not just go through the motions, not just attend church because that's what we do. We want our lives to be changed by Christ. Apollos got Jesus on the inside, and I tell you, people just thought he was passionate. They thought he was fervent about his faith. But when he got Jesus, he knew things were complete. Verse 28, look at our passage. It tells us, "For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating through the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah." It says he vigorously refuted. It conveys the idea that he crushed his opponents at every turn, at every point, because once Jesus was on the inside, Apollos was changed. Now his preaching had power like never before. Now his life, his heart was on fire for Jesus. It wasn't just outward adherence, it was inward change. So as we get back to normal, whatever that looks like, let's get back to it like Apollos. Not just with business as usual, not just coming back expecting life to be ho-hum and normal and living a life of complacency, but let's come back expecting dynamic faith, experiencing life change. Let's commit ourselves to grow in faith, to be transformed from the inside out, to experience dynamic faith on the inside. Imagine today, in a world of chaos, in a world of fear and uncertainty, in a time when people are worried about the future and do not know what the future holds, imagine God's church recommitting to experience faith on the inside, to not just settle for everyday Christianity, but to have a passion to see Jesus change us from the inside out. Imagine the power that would be infused in God's people, the change that would come to the world as God's people are living with passion and fervency and devotion. Imagine today the power in your life of living your faith, living your life without any doubt as it relates to your relationship with God. We would be amazed at the change that would come about when Jesus is more than skin deep, when he's not just superficial, but he resides and he resides fully on the inside of us. Today, it all begins with having your life changed by Christ. As I mentioned to you that many years ago as a teenager, I thought I had faith. I thought I was a Christian because I conformed and adhered to some externals. Believed God like a lot of other people. I went to church some, but it wasn't until Jesus came on the inside that my life was transformed. Has your life been changed and transformed by Jesus Christ? Has he washed away your sins and given to you hope, the promise of eternal life? Have you experienced that dynamic change that comes from Jesus Christ residing inside of you? You can experience that today. The Lord wants that in your life this morning. Like this coat, you know, we can look like we have it right on the outside. The question is, have we been changed and made right on the inside? Maybe you have the right image. You do the right things. You do good things. You say good things. You go through religious practices on the outside, but you know that it's only superficial. That change has not penetrated your heart. Let Jesus come on the inside. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, make him the Lord and Savior of your life. And Christian friend, as we think about coming back to church, and we welcome you back in the very near future, as you're ready to join back in the stream of things here, let's come back with renewed passion, renewed commitments, that we do not just want to do church as normal, but we want this challenging, upsetting experience that we have been through to be life-altering for the glory of God. Let's be sure that we live a life that's changed from the inside out. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word and the example of Apollos, who had intimate knowledge. He had a lot of outward adherence. But Lord, he recognized that he had not been changed by Jesus Christ, that he had not fully taken hold of what it means to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for the example of commitment to faith and life transformed. And God, help us today to follow that example, to be changed in our own lives, to not just be content with trying to make ourselves look Christian on the outside, but to be certain today that we have been changed from the inside out, and that Jesus Christ resides over our hearts as Lord and Savior. So, Father, as we think about getting back to church, back to our new normal, we pray that our faith would be abnormal. The fellowship we enjoy would be abnormal. The impact we have would not be normal, but we would go forward with renewed faith, energized faith in you and fellowship together, and that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to bring remarkable change to the world around us and bring this world that is lost in darkness and confusion and pain and sorrow, and we would bring to them the hope and the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Father, as we come back to church, as we renew ourselves and make these commitments, we pray that you would set our hearts ablaze for you as we renew our commitments to you, Lord. And I pray for those who are unsure about faith, those who have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray right now that they would be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit, and like Apollos, that they would go from knowledge about you, certain commitments and the external relationship with you and your church, and it would be a dynamic transformation on the inside as they make Christ their Lord. So, Father, I pray you would convict their hearts now, and they would cry out to you for forgiveness of their sins, and that they would receive Christ as Lord and Savior. If that's your prayer and need today, I hope you will pray that right now. Pray to the Lord and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And right now, ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Father, help us as we make these commitments today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening today. I hope you'll go back and study further in Acts chapter 18 and be certain that your faith has been changed from the inside out.
Bible school may look a little different this year, but VBS 2020 is still under construction. Join us for VBS at Home, a whole new experience where you can build the foundation of Jesus right in your house. All of our friends, pre-K through fifth grade, are invited to join us June 15th through June 19th.
Register today at fbcthomasville.com.
Thank you again for being with us in worship today. We hope that throughout this next week, you will stay connected with us through our various social media platforms. If you have a special prayer request, we encourage you to reach out to your life group leader, your deacon, or a staff member. We would love to be praying for you and with you. We also look forward to next week and hope that you will join us again here for worship. Have a great week.